My name is Ben. I've been part of the church for 2 years already. I'm Dutch, but I'm not from this area, but from the region of The Hague and Rotterdam. And I also lead the student group drum of this church. And today I have the privilege of speaking here for the first time. So, I'd like to share with you something that has been on my mind a bit. And it simply says, pause. What I really like about this church is that we're such an ambitious church, an active church. In the announcements we just saw, we have student group, we have prayer meetings, we have connect groups, we have served the city. We are planning mission trips for over the summer. And that's great that we're so active and that we want to bless other people, that we have this theme of this year to pray together and to serve together as well. And especially me, sometimes when I see all these things and I want to join them and I do that, and we have work and we have other things, and I tend to forget what it's really all about, and that is to spend time with God. So today I'd like to talk about this theme of pause, that we just, in the midst of all the things we want to do, that we just take some time to stop and think about what God has done for us and who we are and what He's going to do, and simply just to spend time with Him. I'd like to start reading Psalm 67. And it says, God, be merciful to us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us. Let Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Let's pray for a moment. Dear God, I want to thank You this morning that we can come together. All our different backgrounds, different places we come from, different jobs we have, different problems we face throughout the week. I thank You that we can come here together and just worship You with one voice. And I pray that we may leave all the things behind that distract us from doing that, Lord. That You will speak to us today, Lord. In Your name, amen. So as this psalm says, let all people praise You. Can we go back one slide? One word that is in here twice that I did not pronounce is the word Selah. And that's a Hebrew word, and I don't speak any Hebrew, so I looked it up, what it means, and on the internet, and there are several websites say we don't really know what it means. This psalm, the title it has is that it's for the musical director. And it is thought that the word Selah maybe means like a rest in the song, like you have a moment of silence. I also read that it could be that you just stop and think about the things that were said before in the song or sung before in the song. I don't know if that's true, but as we talk about pause today, it could also be that we talk about the word Selah. Just to stop and think about the things that happened before. So I chose this psalm because it has that word in there. And that it says, Let's praise God for who He is. I came to read another psalm, which is Psalm 34, verse 3. And it says, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. And especially that word magnify caught my attention. Because I studied biology. And there you sometimes look through a microscope and you magnify things. You zoom in on something that you cannot really see with the naked eye. So you can see it better. You can look at the details better. And I like the idea of magnifying God. The magnification of God. That we zoom in on Him and we look at Him better to see what He looks like, who He is. And it also means if we magnify God that we kind of don't look at the things around it. So as we rest, pause for a moment, the first thing I want to do is to magnify God, to forget the things that distract us, and to look at Him. And I think as we do that, we look at God and we see who He is. We look less to ourselves and our own situation. And I'd like to read a story from the Bible in Mark chapter 4. I think you've heard it before. It says, Jesus calms the storm. It says, that day when evening came, He said to His disciples, let us go over to the other side. And He is Jesus here in this story. Leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along, just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to His disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waters obey Him. The waves, sorry. Even the wind and the waves obey Him. And I like this story as like an illustration of what it is to magnify God. Because Jesus and His disciples were on the boat and suddenly a storm comes. They're looking for Jesus and He's sleeping. And they are so caught up in the storm. They think, we're going to die here. We're never going to make it to the other side. And in their, like in their fear, they look for Jesus and they find Him eventually just sleeping. And they wake Him up. The first thing He does is he calms the storms easily. And He says, why were you so afraid? Don't you have faith? And after that, the disciples wonder, who is He? Who is He that He can do that? And when we magnify God and we zoom in on Him, as Jesus did, He knew who He was and He knew who God, His Father was, who God was. And He knew that He could calm that storm easily. So He was sleeping. And the disciples were all stressed because of the storm. They were looking at the things around and were not focusing on who God was. But just by a couple of words, He calmed the storms. And the disciples wondered, who is He? They wanted to know Him better, look at Him better. And I like this story because, yeah, maybe we come here and we're all in a storm. I don't know how you came here this morning. But if we magnify God and look at Him, we can forget that. We can find rest in Him, just as Jesus did. He actually just slept during the storm. I don't want you to fall asleep during this service. If that is your idea of rest, that's fine. If you need to take rest, but no, please stay awake and just listen. But if we rest in God, we don't have to look at the things that are going on, things that from our own perspective maybe can kill us. Because if we magnify God, we change our perspective. We don't look at things with our own eyes, but we use the magnifying glass and look at God. So we can look at things from His perspective. As Jesus did, He looked at the storm from His perspective. And in our own, from our own perspective, maybe that means that it looks dangerous and that it could be the end. But if we look at things from God's perspective, it looks completely different. And I, for myself, am kind of a pessimistic thinker, I think. I tend to think in a negative way. The people who know me well would probably agree with that. And in the past, I've had times when I was so caught up at looking at things from my own perspective that thinking negatively, you go down and down until eventually feel so down or depressed that I don't see any good thing anymore. And if we do the opposite of magnifying God, we look at things from our own perspective and look at ourselves. And we basically minimize God, ignore Him. Then it's so easy to look at things and get caught up in them. Think that the storm is going to kill you. So from my own experience, I've seen that not magnifying God and even minimizing Him does not work. And in order to be able to find rest, need to magnify God and thereby minimize the things that are distracting us from Him. So at least from that is, what if we would only look at things from our own perspective? As I said, you might get depressed, but I think worrying is also a thing where we look at things from our own perspective and we kind of minimize God. And there's a quote by Jeremy Riddle, who is a worship leader at Bethel Church. We just sang one of their songs, To Our God. And he says, to worry is to imagine your future without the goodness of God. In other words, to minimize God, to actually exclude Him completely from our future and worry about that. So if we would magnify God, I don't think there's any worry there. If we look at things from God's perspective, we can leave the other things behind. So stop worrying is an important step to be able to find rest in God. And what leads from that is also thanksgiving. We just read in Psalm 67, at the last verse, it says, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. I've often thought about fearing God, what that means. It said that the disciples, they were afraid of Jesus because they thought He can stop the storm. Who is He? They saw what He did and they feared Him. But sometimes fear can be like we see it in a negative way, that we think of God as a scary person or someone who wants to punish us. But when I look at this verse, it says that God shall bless us and then we shall fear Him. So fear of God that comes from His blessing. Not because of He's scary or anything He threatens to do, but actually just something He does for us. He blesses us, and therefore we may fear Him. How that works comes actually from another quote from an American person, and maybe you all know him, that is the great theologian Steve Kramer. And he once said, and I wrote that down and I still remember that, it is impossible to sin when you are being thankful. And that is such an interesting quote because it is true. I tested it and it's true. If you're thankful for your studies, it is hard not to prepare well for your exams. If you're thankful for your job, it's hard not to do good at it. If you're thankful for the people around you, it's hard to not be nice to them. It is impossible to sin when you are being thankful. And when we are thankful for the blessings that God gives us, that leads to fearing Him, to not sinning. So another important thing is that we give thanks to what God gives to us. As we pause, we magnify God, look at things from His perspective. We look at the things that we have in our lives that He gave to us. And as I just said, that I've had times in my life where I did not magnify God and just looked at things from my own perspective. And I also found it hard to be thankful for the things that God did give me. But last week I was reading something and it said that even just our lives are already a compliment to God. And I was thinking about that and thinking of what what God did for us, to come here, leave His kingdom, to come here, live with us in this messed up world, to die for us so that we can be exchanged with Him. We can have His life. And by doing that, I thought, the way we live our lives, yeah, it is indeed a compliment to God. If we do our best in things, or if we just come to Him, it is a compliment to Him. So I'd like to encourage you today that even if you're in a situation that I've been myself, that you can see your life as a compliment to God. That even if He came here to earth and you were going to be the only one that He would exchange His life with, that He would still do it, and that your life is actually a compliment to God. And let's just give thanks for that. If there's nothing else to give thanks for, let's give thanks for that. And I can come up with many things to be thankful for. I'm thankful that we can be here in this building together, that we have the freedom to worship God and to pronounce His name even, because not in every country in this world that is possible, as we just prayed. I'm thankful that I can stay here and live in Maastricht and do the things I want to do. Let's be thankful today. Even if things are not perfect, be thankful for the things that we do have. And let's remember those things. And I think that as we do that, as we magnify God, as we give thanks to Him, it will eventually lead to trust. It's just as simple as that, that we can trust Him and actually pause. Because if we think of all the things we still have to do, and we don't trust God that we will be able to do that, we're not able to just stop and sit and pause for a moment. And last year, I've been reading quite a bit about trust, because I just wanted to trust God more. And I've came to the conclusion that trusting God is always something that, it's hard to say, like, you have to trust God, and so, yeah, okay, I'll do that. It's hard to do that, but trusting God always involves us doing something. And it might be as simple as just making the decision to do nothing. Then you still do something, right? For some people, it could be that you're so busy with things that you just need to stop and pause and decide to do nothing and say, yeah, God, I trust that you will take care and the rest will be all right. Or maybe the other way around, that you need to trust God in something you do, that you're going to step out in faith and say, yes, God, I am going to start this thing and trust you with it. Just like our brother Roy does in his ministry with the family dinner. He just said, I have this desire to cook for people, and I want to unite people with that. And together with our pastor Matthew, organized this thing, not knowing if it would be a success or not, but trusting God that it would be all right. And I admire people who do that, who, like my brother who does that, to step out in faith, knowing this is what God wants and I'm going to do it, even though it seems like a risky thing. So it could be something like that as well. But what I've always learned is that our trust comes from two things. The first thing is that we have experience of His goodness. Like I said before, we have to be thankful for our blessings, and we've experienced God's blessings. As we remember those, this gives us trust, that we know, yes, God has been good to me in the past, so why would He be not good to me in the future? The other thing that we didn't talk about yet is a hope that God will do the same thing in the future, a promise that He will do that. And I said, last year I've been looking a lot into trust and what that means. But the year before that, my theme for the year, so to say, was hope. I was in a moment that I did not see much hope, like, where am I going to be? How is it going to work out? So I just decided to research. As I said, I've studied biology, so I like to research things. I researched hope, what it means. And it is also as simple as just a promise of God's goodness, that God is going to do something. What was important for me is also other people speaking hope into my life. As I just talked about Steve, one thing he always did was speaking hope into my life. Even though I did not want to hear it sometimes, he still did it because he knew how important it was to receive hope. Because without hope, we cannot trust God. So he kept saying, yeah, of course you'll find a job. Of course you'll find a wife. Of course you'll find a house. Of course you can do this. And if he would have not spoken hope in my life, I would not be here because I would have not believed that I would be able to speak in church. Or in other weeks, playing the guitar in the band, I would have not believed that I could do that. But because of the hope that someone spoke into my life, I dared to believe, and slowly seeing God actually blessing me in other things, giving me the experience of his goodness, the combination of that experience and hope led to trust. That I can say, yeah, I can just stop now for a moment and rest because I trust God. I trust that he is good because he has done it. And I have the hope that he will do it again in the future. So as we have those three things, magnification, thanksgiving, and eventually trust, that enable us to just pause and think we're going to do so many things. Even tomorrow at 6, my alarm will go off and I have to go to work. Then it's no time to pause because you have to go to work. But right now, I just want to take some time to pause and magnify God, give thanks, and trust him. I'd like to ask the band to come forward because they're going to play another song. And as we do that, I want to take some time to pause, to reflect on what God has done in your life and give thanks to him for that. To not look at the situations that you might be in, but to look at him. To look at your life from his perspective as a compliment to him. I'd like to read one more piece from the Bible, from Colossians 3. And it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So there's some things in there that I just talked about. Peace, rest, to be thankful, to sing songs, and also to teach each other the goodness of God. So as you count your blessings, as you're being thankful for the things that God gave you, I also want to encourage you to share that with other people so that by the things that God gave you, you can give hope to other people. To tell the story of how you met your wife or how God provided for you so that someone who has no hope to find a life partner gets that hope. To share how you found your job, how God blessed you with that so that you can encourage someone who actually has no job at the moment. To share with someone how God healed you so that those who are sick can believe that God still heals today. So it's not just for ourselves. We don't do this by ourselves when we pause. Of course, there are times to do that. But it's so important to do that together, to share it with other people and speak hope into others' other lives. So I also want to encourage you to do that. As we sing one song and you think of all the things that God did, that later, as we take a coffee or tea, steal some cookies like the children do, that we also share what God does for us, what He has done for us, so that you may speak hope into the lives of someone else. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Think of what He did for you. After that, we'll pray together, and then it's the time to talk to each other and share the blessings that God gave. So let's sing one more song.